All right, it's the third week of November, and here we are at Ask the Mayor in Bloomington with Mayor John Hamilton. Again, thank you very much for having us here on the week of Thanksgiving, a holiday. I know you're busy, probably traveling, so we appreciate the time.
Joe, thanks for being here. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone. It's a great holiday, American tradition, so yeah. We'll enjoy that.
And I hear you're going up to Indy, so you'll get to report back on I-69 progress.
I'll get a firsthand report on how we're doing, yep.
It's been a busy month. You know, I was able to attend the kickoff celebration at the Mills and the Trades District, and I see how these new business ventures are really starting to use the space and are taking up the space now. And I assume this is a very exciting time for you, something that's been in the works for quite a while.
Joe, it's been in the works for a decade in the city, and for me, since I came in, it is an exciting time for Bloomington. The Mill, you know, is one of the string of pearls looking at the downtown enhancements, if you will. And this activation of the downtown trades district, the Mill is kind of the beehive, the center, the energy of that, seeing it full of people. You know, one little anecdote about that is when we built that, and by the way, it was done in 6 months, which is kind of a fantastic rehab of this old facility, reusing old wood and all kinds of cool stuff. But we projected that we would rent out half of the private offices in the first year. We wanted to be careful. First day, all 10 are full, there's a waiting list. I mean, people, companies, entrepreneurs, innovators want to be in there, and it's really exciting to see.
So there'll be the Mills 2 coming soon? Is that the next
Well, step? You know, the Mill serves a special role as kind of an incubator and launching place. What is important is that people have a place to go after the Mill. The Mill will always be there as a mix and a co-work space, but we need office space next to it so that when you graduate from the Mill, you can go someplace else.
So where is that someplace else?
Well, it's going to be right next door in the Trades District. We're working on exactly what and by whom, but what we want to see is more office space being developed down there. You know, just one little example. We were a company from Northern Virginia software, was looking at Bloomington for various reasons as a place to expand, hire more tech folks, software engineers, et cetera. They looked at the Mill and they said, hey, we can rent an office here month to month, 10 employees, 12 employees can fit there. We can get in quickly, super cheap, get a foothold in Bloomington, see how it works out, find it's a great place, and then expand from there. That's what we want to see happening at the Mill, and we're already starting to see it happen.
So I wanted to talk about parking, too. That's been in the news a lot lately. The Trades District, from what I've read, would like to have a garage to help spur development there. 4th Street Garage is in actually really bad shape.
Yes, it
and
is.
It's being closed January 1st. That's
yep.
coming up. So I think maybe there are a couple points maybe we can all agree on. The automobile is here, we need parking, and the city is growing. But there also seems to be, from what I read in some of the city council, a little bit of a push to not grow too much parking in downtown. So there seems to be a little struggle there on where the parking is going with these two garages.
Look, the balance is always important in this kind of thing. I mean, this city, this administration, this mayor, is deeply committed to climate change and doing everything we can as a community, as an administration, as a mayor, to respond to the challenge of climate change. And we're doing, you know, we've quintupled our solar, we're doing all kinds of demand management work, which we will do. However, it's also worth noting, we have about 8,500 parking spaces downtown right now that people use all the time. Structured parking is appropriate in certain places. The vast majority of that parking is surface lots. Surface spaces, people taking up land to park a car. We need to replace the 4th Street Garage. It's used by hundreds of people every day. The Trades District, to have a center of employment, it is going to have people driving in. I hope they all come in electric cars. I hope they all carpool, and we will do things to encourage all that. But out of 8,500 spots downtown, we need to improve and replace some of those. And we're working closely with the City Council. And no, I do not like spending a lot of money on parking garages. But I would say also this, over the next 20, 30 years, let's say we can cut the demand for parking in half. That would be fantastic. We're still going to want the structured parking left so we can use those surface parking lots for more density, housing, affordable housing, jobs, those kinds of things. So investing in surface parking is like investing in roads and infrastructure and trails, which we will do, and we're going to do it in a very green way, and we're working closely with the council on that.
There's a little interesting wrinkle in the 4th Street Garage that there's been talk of perhaps some commercial or office space too as part of that. And when you think about it, it's one block from the square that's pretty full right now. It's also going to be one block from the expanded convention center that's coming to. Does that make sense for that area? It seems like this is kind of a once a big opportunity. You do it now or it's going to be another, 30 years?
That's right. So that garage was built 35 years ago. The downtown has changed a lot since then. It absolutely makes sense as we look at that and work with an architect to design it to say not only how do we make it a hub for cars and for scooters and for bikes and for Uber and Lyft and Bloomington Transit, how do we make it a hub for all that? But also, yes, how do you use the commercial opportunities there for retail and maybe even housing? You go to Kokomo every once in a while, they have a garage right downtown with housing on the top layer. That's something we want to look at and think about.
We have to talk scooters. That's what we do in Bloomington. We talk scooters, right?
Okay. Even in the winter as it comes. Absolutely.
The newest thing is the city struck an agreement with the scooter companies. It includes many things, including there's a $10,000 yearly fee, right, and 10 cents per ride. I guess my first question is, where does that money go that the city gets from that?
Good question. It'll go to the council to be appropriated, and that's still to be worked out. But essentially, I think we all agree it should be focused on alternative transport support. It could be directly supporting scooter oversight, regulation, controls, parking, etc. It could be used for other things around alternative transport. As soon as those scooters arrived in September, we began the discussions with the companies and said, look, you're here, you want to be here. We welcome you in certain ways. We think this is a reasonable alternative to look at if it's done right. And I'm pleased that we've signed deals with both of them. We signed one first and the other, we said either you sign or you're out of the city, and they agreed to sign as well. So we get some funding, we get data, we get training, we get a commitment to indemnification and other things. And I think it'll eventually be incorporated in an ordinance. But we're starting this was quicker to do a negotiation. Again, one of these companies reported they had 100,000 rides in October. That's 3,000 rides a day by people. Now, some of that's replacing cars or Uber or Lyft. We want to do this right. I know there have been injuries. It's really important that people wear helmets and that they be responsible with this. But I think this is the right step to make sure that these are companies that are committed to us and working with us and providing safe alternative transport.
I know this might be a little early, but have you seen maybe a decrease in the amount of people that have been upset or have been complaining with these kind of new regulations that are coming in? Or maybe are people just starting to get used to them now, too?
Well, I think it's a combination. It's a new thing. I remember I saw a column the other day that reminded us when automobiles were first introduced, people said you had to have, there was a law that said you had to have a guy with a red lantern walking in front of a car because it was too dangerous. And new technology is disruptive. Part of it's etiquette, people understanding you can't ride these things on a crowded sidewalk, get off the sidewalk. People understanding that you have to park them appropriately, and if you don't, you're gonna get fined. We do have police officers and parking officers who are now ticketing people and warning them and saying you've gotta comply with the rules. I do think the companies and their employees or agents are learning, hey, you gotta park these well in the morning. If you don't, you're gonna get in trouble, and we now have the authority to fine them. So part etiquette, part enforcement, and I think it's getting better. It's not where we need to be yet, but it's gonna keep getting better, I think.
The Graduate Hotel is about to open, I think, this week from the HT reporting. I get the sense that the neighbors around there are kind of holding a wait and see, but friendly approach to their new neighbor. Do you see that happening, and do you feel like it's going to be a part of Kirkwood that people can adjust to?
Well, I've toured the facility before it's done and talked to the owners. And as you know, it's not been a secret that I was opposed to the approval of that. It was too tall and still is, I think, for Kirkwood. But it is what it is. It's here. I'm pleased that the owners have agreed to do very substantial public art to try to help invest back in the community and try to soften, if you will, the impact of that new structure. Yes, people will get used to things. Still, I think it does remind us that iconic street is very, very important to protect. I don't want to let this be just say, hey, well, just because the graduate do it, we should do it again. I think we need to protect that street. It's an incredible resource for us built up over the years. But the Graduate Hotel, I'm pleased that they've invested in public art, and we'll move forward from there.
I have to ask you about the convention center. I know the architects were supposed to get together. Last month, you were trying to get everybody together this month. Did it happen?
It did. We've interviewed four finalists of the architects, outstanding firms. I think the nine-member committee all was impressed with the quality of people from around the country. One Indiana firm, many of them use local architects as well, but also firms from around the country. We actually meet later, and I think it's Tuesday this week in the afternoon. We'll be meeting to discuss those four further, and I'm very pleased and excited. I think this is, again, on that string of pearls, this is a big step forward for the community.
So there were, weren't there seven?
There were seven.
So did the committee get it down to four,
we cut it
or
to
did
four.
They drop out?
No, we cut it to,
you four. Cut it to four.
We invited four
and
back.
And met all four.
They
oh,
all
okay.
came back for another hour interview.
Okay, so what's the next step?
Next step is either go to one or two. We'll okay. see. We're discussing, and we hope to have an architect engaged by the beginning of next year.
Okay, great, sounds good. I do have a couple questions from listeners, viewers that have emailed in. Christina heard that Griffey Lake area abandoned water treatment plant will be going through remediation for asbestos, demolition, or some repurposing. And she wants to know what type of plans are being considered for future use of this property and any timeline.
Uh-huh. So the Griffey Water Plant has been decommissioned for decades, and it is right, she's right, it's been contaminated with mercury and asbestos, and there's major cleanup going on. That's owned by the City of Bloomington Utilities. It used to be our water plant. It hasn't been that for a long time. It's a very difficult site and building to reuse. I think CBU is looking hard at options. It may be that that facility can't function as a building anymore. It's I've been through the building. It's quite a rat's nest of different levels and things. But we're looking at it, and the City of Bloomington Utilities and their board is the group that oversees that.
Marcia emails in. She kind of has a two-point question here. She asks about yellow paint on the curbs and roundabouts. She knows that they're on regular intersections, but it's hard in some of the roundabouts to be able to see when you're looking for oncoming traffic and having to turn and so forth. Why aren't they painted yellow?
That is a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I'll try to find out and get back to you.
And then she'd also like to know why some Bloomington intersections don't have the names of the streets. There are so many intersections with no signs, and it makes it hard for newcomers.
Good point. I know we try to have street signs everywhere. Some of them do get stolen, the street signs. But if you ever have an issue with a particular intersection, please let us know. You can do it on U-Report or just call my office and let us know. Because sometimes those signs do go missing. For example, High Street seems to be gone quite a bit. People seem to steal that sign. I'm not sure why. But so if you see a sign missing or you see an intersection, anytime you think it's unsafe, please let us know. It's helpful.
Just a couple things to catch up on. There's a current hospital reuse meeting, December 17th. What's the next step there?
So again, that string of pearls, so much going on. This is the 2019 will be a very busy year for planning and visioning for the current hospital site. So we have a group that's meeting mid-December to begin that process. There'll be a lot of public opportunity in 2019 for our community as a whole to think about what do we want in those 24 acres? The hospital, of course, is under construction, the new one on the east side. The old one should open up 2021-ish, if you will. And it's not too early to be thinking about what do we want there. We've done an Urban Land Institute process. We've thought a lot about housing, affordable housing, civic space, green space, office space, maybe reusing that garage, as we talked about garages. So look for that in 2019 and ways to get involved for everybody.
And I wanted to ask a little bit more about the bicentennial bonds. Mm-hmm. You really pushed for this as a good investment into the community. There may be a little bit of not so much agreement in the city council.
It wasn't unanimous,
but it passed.
Right.
Some trees, trails, and some welcome gates to the city.
You know, we're ending our 200th year, and I felt it was appropriate. We who are here now have benefited so much from what so many people did through the years to create a great city, and I thought at the bicentennial time, it's a good time to give forward, too. Remember, when the state turned 100, the state created the state parks. What a great decision that was to create those state parks, which we now all enjoy today. So I asked the council, and they, the majority agreed, to let's issue bonds, about $10 million for us, to give to the future. And there's going to be a couple major things. One is four substantial new trails. We know people love trails. Our city needs more of them, and we're giving to the future by some trails, and I can go into the details of those. We're also going to activate some downtown alleys, kind of rejuvenate those old bones of the city, of the alleys. And then, as you mentioned, some gateway work, so that when you come to Bloomington, you know you're here, and that you know you've arrived at a very special place. And all of this is pointed toward giving to the future Bloomingtonians, to do the kind of investment that in 50 years they'll look back and say, I'm glad you did that. We're also doing a bunch of trees. We're going to be planting hundreds of new trees and creating that canopy that will live for decades too.
For those that may not know, a welcome gate is there. Indiana University built one off of what's now I-69 coming into town over the bridge that takes you to, I believe, Walnut Street.
Yeah, I mean,
there's one there,
you
right?
Often,
it's that kind of thing.
Yes, as you travel to other cities, you arrive into the city and it says welcome. It gives you a little statement about what we're about, and it's, you know, we have 2 million visitors a year come to Bloomington, and they love coming back, and we want them to kind of realize they're entering a very special place.
That was all I had. Is there anything that maybe I missed or that you'd like to announce or like to say?
Well, I will mention we have a new public engagement tool online called Polco, P-O-L-C-O, and this is a way for people who want to give feedback to the city, a new way to do it. This is something that's been tried in a number of cities. If you just go to that website, polco.com, or you can go to the city website, what we do every 2 weeks, we'll have kind of a short series of questions to get feedback. You might not be surprised to know the first one is on scooters. How many of you ridden scooters? What do you think about scooters? How should we regulate scooters? And it's just a way to engage the public more. We hope a lot of people will try that, so I encourage everybody to go to polco.com and give us some feedback.